just the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, says a lot because it's God's original plan begins there. Tonight, I want to talk about a simple word, authority. And I want to, for us, break down authority and see where authority originates. I was reading an article, and for whatever reason, I can't remember where I read this article, but there was one statement that jumped out at me. And they said, all authority comes from another place of authority. And whenever that authority turns around and tries to usurp the foundation of authority that it comes from, then the foundation must now take over and put it back in its place. So I give you an example. I use my children as an example. Sometimes I would, and the apostle does the same thing with Montrell, Shauna, and I, and Darnell, and Montrell. He would do the same thing with us, but I do it with my kids sometimes, and you all do it. And so when I give you this example, you'll know what I mean about authority, where it originates from. And when it's not done properly, then the authority which you got it from comes and gets you straight. Sometimes I'll tell Lauren, hey, go tell Layla to do this or tell Leroy to do this. And so they would go and this would be their words. Hey, Daddy said do this. So now when Lauren makes that statement, well, Daddy said do this, Layla automatically understands that Lauren is not coming in her authority. She's coming in the authority of Daddy. Now, Lauren can't go to Layla and say, Daddy say do this, and then tell her do something that is outside the parameters of my authority. Because then now I have to step in and get her straight and then get Layla going in the right direction. Are you getting this? So that's what I mean about every authority comes from a foundation of authority that has been given to it. And so in Genesis, the first chapter, we see the origin of authority in that 26th verse. All right? In that 26th verse, God said, let us make man how? In our image, after our likeness, correct? And he said, and I'm going to let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So here it is. God has given man very specifically. Let's be very specific about this. Giving Adam authority, giving Adam dominion. Now, the dominion that Adam had originated from where? From God. He didn't have that authority too long because he wanted to take that authority and then use it outside of the parameters for which God had designed it for. So then the foundation of the authority had to come in and get them straight. And because they did not want to get it straight, he said, hey, you don't have to listen to me, but you can't stay here in the blessing. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand that every authority in this earth realm has a foundation on God. Now, if any authority that has been established, that's trying to establish itself and tries to go against the order of God, has to be dealt with. That's how it works. Police officers, they have authority, but they can't operate outside of the parameters of the authority that they have been given. If they do, then they have penalties and repercussions that they have to deal with, because the foundation from which they get their authority then begins to deal with them. Are you seeing this? Go with me to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Because we as believers, we have authority, but we have to understand how that authority functions. And that authority, listen at me, Listen to me very clearly. I'm about to say something. That authority, you don't have access to that authority just because you're a Christian. Oh, I know it's contrary to what you've been taught, what you think, but you don't have access to that authority just because you're a Christian. You have to be a Christian functioning in the parameters from which the authority was given. Adam and Eve was a great example. As soon as they started operating outside of those parameters, God said, you can't handle this power. Are you seeing this? Jeremiah, the first chapter. Verse 10. This is God talking to Jeremiah. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Here it is, Jeremiah, who is a prophet of God, has been given the authority to do these things. Look what he said. He said, I've set thee over what? Nations. And over the kingdoms, plural. So that means that God, anytime God sees things going a different direction other than his original plan, he set men and women in the earth from his authority to begin to line those things back up to his original plan. Are you seeing this? Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, here is God has given Jeremiah authority to do these things. So now when Jeremiah began to deal with the children of Israel and the kingdoms that were around them, he had great success. Why? Because his authority came from the original authority, came from God. Our authority is going to have to come from, not because we're just Christians. Our authority comes because we are Christians operating in the parameters of the kingdom of God. Before we go there, go to Mark the 11th chapter. Go to Mark the 11th chapter. Mark the 11th chapter. Think of it, it's just the 22nd verse. It says, have faith in God. Right? Then the 23rd verse begins to, I want you to read to me. When you get there, let me see when you get there, let me give you time. And I want you to read it to me. Those of you that are home watching by internet, I want you to begin to get it, and I want you to read it, because there's something Jesus said in this scripture that gives us an insight to authority. All right, you ready, everybody there? Ready? Read. Hold up. To which mountain? Huh? This mountain. Not all mountains. This mountain. That's Jesus letting us know that our authority comes from someplace else that holds us accountable on how we use that authority. So it's no longer me just going around slinging the name of Jesus around. I can't just go around slinging his name around. Oh, I don't like this situation. Or, because maybe the situation is like it is because you're operating outside of the parameters of the authority of God. He said, who shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, right? So it's not all mountains. So some mountains that you're trying to speak to, you may not have the authority to speak to it. Which means this is why you have to be connected to somebody who can add to your authority. Are you seeing this? See, all right, good time to explain this. There is the apostleship, there is the apostle, then there's apostolic. The apostleship is the office. This is, we're going over this again. This is something we know already. The apostleship is the office. In the apostleship's office, it exudes with authority. It is a place of authority. It is, in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, he said he set in the church first apostles. So that means that the apostle has the authority to hear directly from God and structure doctrine and structure heaven to earth government. Then you have the apostle, who is the person that walks in the apostleship. All right? See, the apostleship is dead without a human. And a human can't be nothing without the apostleship. You see that? Are you seeing this? So the two have to be together. Then you have, you say, where do I fit in? Then you have this word apostolic. The apostle ship is the office and all of its functions. The apostle is the person that personifies the apostleship, the office. All right, so everything that's in the apostleship, you see the apostle being able to walk in it, the authority, the power. It's three things that I look for in an apostle. This is how I know in my short time being in the world, I found three things that I've seen that's common in all apostles. The apostles have been studying with Apostle Thompson. The apostles I see, three things common. Number one, that apostle is self-contained. What I mean by self-contained? It really indifferent to whether you stay or go. They really are indifferent to whether you stay or go. Now, they want you to stay, but if you just decide you got to go, it won't affect them. Because they're going to accomplish the will of God with you or without you. I got proof. I got biblical proof of that. You see it all through the Bible. Moses was going to do what God told him to do with the children of Israel or without them. Elijah was operating as a prophet of God, and God told him to go to get Elisha. And when he got to Elisha, Elisha started coming to all these excuses. And Elijah looked back and said, man, what I got to do with you? I'm only here because God told me to come here. Now, if you don't want to come, don't come. I got to go. So he is indifferent. An apostle is indifferent to whether you want to be here or you don't want to be here. They're self-contained. They're self-contained spiritually. They're self-contained mentally. And they're self-contained financially. The second demarcation in an apostle that I've noticed in an apostle is that an apostle always have miracles operating or happening in the lives of people that are connected to them. If a person is calling themselves an apostle, the first thing I want to see is the people that are around you, what's happening in their lives. Because you got to remember now, the apostleship is an office that exudes authority. The apostle walks in it. What's the purpose of the apostle? To structure heaven and earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so that the people of God can walk into the supernatural. So if the people are not being affected by the apostle who say they walk in their apostleship, then if they're not being affected, I gotta question your calling. See? And the third thing, the third qualification in the life of an apostle is that things happen in their life for which there is no other statement that can be made, but this person is walking with God. Even when you look back on a situation that has happened, you can only say this person has got to be walking with God because this can't happen no other way. Those three things that I look for an apostle. If they claim to be an apostle and they don't have, there may be other categories, that's just the ones I find. There may be other ones. But just those three that are important to me. You need to be having miracles. If you're going to walk in this apostleship that say they're going to structure heaven and earth government, that's going to open the portals of the supernatural for me to walk through, then I got to be affected. If I'm not being affected, I got to question your apostleship. So those are three things. So you have the apostle who is the personification of the office. Now here we are, this word apostolic. Apostolic is the workings of the apostleship authorized by the apostle. Are you seeing this? So now you and I can be apostolic. Wherever we are in life, whatever arena we're in, wherever our circle of influence is, if we connect to the apostleship and honor the apostle, then we have the right to walk apostolically. That means those three characteristics can begin to operate in our lives. Are you seeing how this authority has authority work? See, God sets the authority. We see it all through the Old Testament. He set Jeremiah. He said, I'm gonna tell you to tear down, to build, to root up, to change some things. And who's going? Let's go to 1 Samuel now. 1 Samuel 13. I ain't gonna be long tonight. See, I'm talking fast. Talking fast. Apostle said something yesterday. We had our vision impartation call. Vision impartation calls is one of the components of LTMA in which all the members of LTMA, we get on a conference call. It's about 113 of us with Apostle Thompson. And yesterday was just so on fire. We usually do roll call, you know, for accountability. Apostle said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing it this morning. I'm coming on it straight at 10. And he took it from 10 to about 11:30. I mean, just straight going for it. But he opened his opening statement and he said this. And I think, not only I know you need to hear this. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is a turning point in our lives. This is a turning point in our lives. Why? Because we're starting to understand the apostolic government of God. Here in the 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, talking about the authority of God, 1 Samuel 13. Now, this is Saul. Samuel, who was the prophet of the land, who was the one that ordained Saul to be king. They were supposed to go to Gilgal, and Samuel told Saul, go to Gilgal. I will be there in 7 days. Tarry there when I get there. We're going to all make a burnt offering, and then we're going to honor God, and we're going to establish some things. Well, it came that Saul went ahead of Samuel, went to Gilgal, but Samuel didn't come in the 7 days like he said. In verse 8, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. See, he's getting out of divine order. See, here's one thing about an apostle. The supernatural is not ABC, D, and all the rest of the, it's not 1, 2, 3. The supernatural might be 10, 33, 54. What my point is, the supernatural has to be a day by day, a minute by minute, a second by second walk. And so the apostle who is structuring heaven to earth government that opens the supernatural portals of the supernatural so that we can walk into is trying to be keen to the voice of God. So sometimes they may say one thing and then find out that God has changed it to do something else. And we have to let that authority be free to change. See, we have to let that authority be free to change, because if God changes the direction, then God has something better that's going to happen. So here it is, Saul and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm the one supposed to be doing the burnt offerings, and you're supposed to be working with me. He said, now God was coming here to establish your kingdom forever, but now it's not going to happen, because we understand that you can't be trusted with this authority. Are you seeing this? See, anytime an authority grows too big for its britches, the origin of its authority comes to put it in check. See, this is why you want to be a part. This is why you want the apostolic government of God to reign in your life, because I want to be held accountable for this authority. I want to be held accountable with this authority that's happening in my life, so that if I do go off in a wrong direction, then there's somebody that can help me come back to this right direction. This is a great side journey. Here it is. Listen to this. Watch this. The MVBs. I was talking to one MVB today. Actually, I talked to two different MVBs today, and we came up on a subject about covenant. And we began to talk about how, after yesterday's call, Apostle began to ask us to recommit, become wholehearted in the apostolic, trust the apostolic government of God, trust what God is doing in our lives, and allow that authority to stop what we need to stop, start what we need to start, quit doing what we need to quit doing, whatever, just make the decision to do these things. So re-up your commitment. And so anytime Apostle asks us to re-up the commitment, then we as MVBs, as leaders, we decide that we need to re-up our commitment with each other. And so one of the things that we talked about was We are too connected and too close to Apostle to let anything trip us up and cause us to go a different direction. I am too entrenched in Ever-Increasing Word Ministry. I'm too entrenched in Word of Life Christian Center. I'm too entrenched in LTMA to come up talking about I'm resigning. I'm too entrenched. Meaning I'm too deep to change my mind. Are you seeing this? So, but that doesn't mean that Satan ain't gonna try to trip you up. So here's what covenant, and I'm recommending this for you. You're gonna have to look for this person, because this person ain't always close by you. It's gonna have to be somebody that you can trust in covenant. We making a commitment that if Apostle goes a certain direction, and we don't quite understand, or it may rub us the wrong way, we have given ourselves the freedom to go talk to one another so that we can see where we're erring in our thoughts. So we can be covered in a time of weakness until we recover ourselves. Tell me, Apostle said this, I don't quite understand the direction we're going, what he doing. I need help in this. Well, brother, I'm here to help you. This is how you're thinking wrong about this. Are you seeing this? You have to find somebody that will hold you accountable, because we don't always think straight. I don't care how intelligent you think you are, we don't always think straight. And it's not and thinking straight has nothing to do with our intelligence. It has everything to do with Satan trying to trip us up. See, we're at a turning point in our lives that things are happening quicker. I said this before to you. I asked the question, what faith did the children of Israel have when Moses came to deliver them? What faith did they have? I mean, they complained. They murmured. They asked Moses, we don't even know why you came. Ever since you've been here, Moses, things have got worse for us. But yet, God still told Moses to tell them, go borrow the stuff, put the blood over your mantle, and I'm going to deliver you. And on the boot of that, open the Red Sea so they can walk across. God did all that amongst their complaining, amongst their dissatisfaction. So what caused that to happen? It was the apostolic governing authority of God that does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. Are you seeing this? On this side of the cross, there is, talking about authority now, talking about authority. On this side of the cross, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been claiming that we're under a new dispensation of grace. But after studying the apostolic and understanding it, for us to say that we're in a new dispensation of grace means that something that Jesus changed. And in Hebrews, I think the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, Jesus said, I'm the same today and forever. So on this side of the cross, because certain people are getting away with certain sins, we just kind of attribute it up to, hey, we're in a new dispensation of grace. Because you wouldn't pull that foolishness in the Old Testament. No, you wouldn't do that in the Old Testament. Because the grounds open up and, you know, stuff start happening, you know. Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments and first set of commandments that God took his time to chisel in stone. Moses broke them all up, threw them at the people. So now they say we're in this new, I'm talking about authority, we're in this new dispensation of grace. So, preachers whoring around, bishops talking about they gay, all this little foolishness that's going on in the church now, we kind of push that under the new dispensation of grace. But let me tell you, there's no such thing, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What the problem has been is that we, the church, have not been under apostolic government. So righteous judgment cannot be executed for people that are not under God's government. All right, then if we're under a new dispensation of grace, then can somebody please explain to me Ananias and Sapphira? Because that definitely happened after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you tell me why don't people drop dead in church? Because that was after Jesus got up. So if we're in a new dispensation of grace, they shouldn't have died. And Peter said this to him, thou hast not lied to me. Well, let me say it like this. The apostle Peter said, you ain't lied to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. So the reason why these things are happening in the body of Christ is because the church have been out of line with God's apostolic government. And so therefore, the authority that was due us, we can't access it. But because we are now shifting back in alignment under the apostolic government, things like the Red Sea opening are going to start happening for us again. Things like God feeding the children of Israel with bread in the morning and feeding them with quails and all those kind of good stuff, those things will begin to happen because of the apostolic realignment. Are you seeing this? See, even our faith is not as effective. Back to the word apostolic. You can walk in faith, or you can walk in faith apostolically. You can walk in love, or you can walk in love apostolically. hope you understand what I'm saying. Faith is supposed to place us smack dab in the center of God's apostolic government. All right, go to Hebrews 10 chapter. I am almost finished. I hope you're learning something. I hope you're learning something, Internet. I hope you're learning something. See, once we begin to surrender to the apostolic government of God, when you surrender to the apostolic government of God, you ain't gonna make statements like this. You're supposed to submit to God, not to man. You ain't gonna make statements like that. Why? Because if God has established an authority and you don't submit to it, then that means you ain't submitting to him. See, these little stupid statements that we've been making, thought we were spiritual. I listen to God only. I don't listen to man. What if the children of Israel would have had that concept? I don't listen to man. Only God can speak to me. Well, God didn't tell them put that blood over their doorposts. It was Moses told them to put that blood over their doorposts. So now, what if they'd had that 21st century thought that we have? What if they'd had that back then? That death angel would have passed through and took their firstborn because they only hear from God. What I told you to turn? Hebrews what? I'm sorry, Romans, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. I'm glad I asked you. Because I'd have been in Romans, you'd have been in Hebrews. You'd have been looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm wondering why you're looking at me crazy. Romans, the 10th chapter, 17th verse. It says, so then what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my faith comes by hearing the word. That word, we all know, means rhema. Means a live word from God. My faith comes from hearing the voice of God. If my faith comes from hearing the voice of God, then that means God is not going to give me any instruction that takes me outside of his apostolic government. So if I apply faith properly, if I walk in faith properly, that means I should find myself smack dab in the middle of God's apostolic authority. Which means now everything around me that is not right begins to correct itself. So it's not so much me exerting my confession effort. It's not so much me trying to exert my faith, me trying to make it happen. It's more of me focusing on what God wants, putting myself in his apostolic government where I'm supposed to be, and allowing God to do the work for me. Talking about authority. See, that's why Jesus said, thou shalt say to this mountain. Not that other mountain, not all these other mountains, but this mountain. Why? Because my faith positions me in the apostolic government of God where I am fully authorized. And I don't have to be the one seen in authority. Are you seeing this? I don't need to be seen in authority. I just wanted to work on my behalf. So this is why I don't need to be an apostle. I just want to be apostolic. Are you seeing this? So it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my faith positions me in the apostolic government of God, positions me correctly in the apostolic government of God. Matthew's the 8th chapter. And I'm closing here. You know, God began to talk about in Psalms, I think it's 21:1. He say the heart of the king is in his hands and he turn it whichever he want. That's his authority. There's another scripture in Daniel where God said, I set one up and I pulled down another. That's his authority. Matthew's the 8th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, I said earlier, 12:28. He said, I've set these offices in the church first. I need you to see that. 1 Corinthians, and then we'll come back to Matthew's, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to end with something I'm going to tell you that I do not want to happen to you. Jesus gave an example of something that happened to some people, and I do not want it to happen to you, so we're going to read it and explain it because in the 8th chapter of Matthew, he talked about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not talking about going to hell. We're going to see what it's talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, right? Verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? You know the answer to that. No. Well, I want you to see this. He said, first, apostles. So now here it is. If I'm not connected to an apostolic government of God, then that means I'm not walking in full authority. It's impossible. How am I going to walk in full authority and I'm not in God's apostolic government? I'll get some things done. Some things that happen. But there are just some demons that we face that we need somebody with a strong anointing backing us up. Oh, you ain't got to say amen, but it's truth anyway. And we got to come to grips with this. We got to come to grips with this. There were many people in the children of Israel in slavery. Why ain't none of them stepped up? God sent somebody to come in there and to restructure something. Am I making sense? So we have to come to grips with that. There are some demons in that want to stop me from going to another level that I need them to see me, but I need them to see my apostolic authority behind me, pushing me, saying you can go there. Matthew's the 8th chapter. This is about the centurion. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And Jesus would come into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, goeth, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed. These were people that were already with Jesus. All right, they were already with Jesus. They were following him. They heard Jesus teach. They was hearing. They was hanging on to all his words. He turned around and to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, man, that threw me off. Because here it is. These people following Jesus, the disciples included. They following Jesus, and Jesus turned around and said to them, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. Well, Jesus, dog, we've been following you. I mean, I ain't got no faith. What the problem is? I mean, I've been hearing that word. You see, why I ain't got no, why? What was wrong with my faith? Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Listen to this. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Meaning in God's ways of doing things, in his apostolic government. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What? That's not talking about hell. Because see, if you go to Romans 10 and read Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, they tell you how you get born again. You ain't got to do nothing else. All you got to do is believe in your heart and confess your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You're on your way to heaven. Ain't nothing nobody can do about that. But down here, you got to do some other stuff. Like, for instance, you're going to have to recognize that there is an apostolic government of God. You don't want to hang around, apostle, as this shift is being made and not make the shifts in your heart. Because what you'll find happen, and what I don't want to happen to us, this is why we're holding ourselves accountable. We're challenging ourselves. We don't want nobody to come behind us, and because we're familiar, we don't make the necessary adjustments in our heart. So therefore, now we find ourselves being pushed off outside of government because we're not making the necessary adjustments in our heart. Then people who come here for 1 or 2 days begin to reap what we've been working for. I refuse to let anybody come in after me and get more than what I get. It ain't happening. I'm going to make whatever adjustments I have to make. Whatever I got to stop, I'm going to stop. Whatever I got to start, I'm going to start. I'm going to make the necessary adjustment. I ain't going to be weeping and gnashing my teeth. You know where the weeping and gnashing teeth comes from? That's when you're outside of the government of God and you're trying to fix stuff on your own. So you're going to be crying and grinding your teeth. Beating your head against the wall when all you have to do is make the necessary adjustment. Listen. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to make, when you've been going down a path so long, it's hard sometimes to make changes, but you have got to make the changes. You have got to realize that some stuff I learned wasn't quite right. You have to unlearn some stuff so that new revelation come in and root up, pick it up, tear it down, and begin to rebuild in you God's proper divine order. That's why it is a turning point in our lives. That's why this is a turning point. I mean, you ought to be on a Sunday morning. You ought to be, God, I'm going to hear your voice this morning. God, what you going to say this morning? God, what you going to do, God? I'm ready for you. What you going to say, God? I'm going to be hanging on every word you say. God, I'm ready. Whatever you want to say through our apostle. God, I'm ready for the supernatural to be open. And watch this. I ain't let nobody come and talk to me differently about the apostolic government. If you don't believe it, that's fine. Just leave me. I almost said something else, but I ain't gonna say it. We in church. I'm holy. You holy. We're not going to go there. I'm going to just keep it clean. Just leave me alone. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for your apostolic government. Father, we thank you for what you're doing with our apostle in our lives. Thank you what you're doing through him for us, Father. Father, we love your apostolic government. We appreciate what you're doing in our lives. God, whatever adjustments we need to make, God, whatever things you need to add to us, Father, speak to us in our private prayer time, Father. Give us insight, Father. We want more than anything else to be aligned with your apostolic government, God. Cause us to be changed, Father. Help us, Father, free us from ourselves so that we can really become who you designed us to be. We thank you for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to start, because of the realigning of the apostolic, you're going to start seeing some strange biblical day stuff happening. Things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen, as well as bad things are going to happen. See, the apostolic government, God, is only concerned about one thing. One thing and one thing only. God's agenda. That's all it's concerned about, God's agenda. Making sure the will of God is done in earth realm. That's it. Everything else has to either line up with it or walk away from it. You're going to have some people that are going to walk out of your life when you start making decisions about I'm in the apostolic government of God. In the apostolic government of God. You know, people walk out of your life. Hey, that's all right. Walk home. Because now you just become lighter. You can now move faster. And you get to where God is trying to get you quicker. Some people holding you back. You know, so you got to let people go. You got to let them go. Miracles that you've been believing God for, just going to pop up. And it's effortless. You ain't going to be able to say, oh, I prayed 12 hours and God came through. Because the children of Israel ain't prayed one tap. They didn't. They didn't. All they did was obey what Moses said. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat fell on his face before God. God could have talked to him, couldn't he? But the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon his prophet Jehiel. And Jehiel told him what to do. Another question. Why Jesus didn't, if I'm correct, not reading the Bible, I'm talking about authority now, I'm talking about the apostolic government. If I remember right, on the road to Damascus, right, Saul, right? There was a voice that came from heaven. Say, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? Right? Why did he tell Saul to go look for Ananias? Because the audible voice was right there. Jesus, I'm right here. You can tell me everything you need to tell me right here. He sent them to Ananias because God believes in divine order. And Paul had to learn divine order because he himself was going to be at the pinnacle of divine order. As an apostle, wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. I'm talking about structuring. You born again because of what Paul said. Yeah, you born again because of what Paul wrote. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused as he could be. He said, man, Jesus, how I get born again? What, I got to go back to my mother's womb? Paul came and cleared that thing up. So this apostolic government is important in our lives. Stand to your feet.